Welcome to Witch Talks, the series for spiritual seekers, witches, and enlightened souls. I'm Hannah the Suburban Witch, professional tarot reader, astrologer, and witch, and I hope you're ready to get up close and personal with your favourite witches. Hello, hello. I'm so happy to have you here with me today. We also have someone else with us here today, and that is my beautiful kitty cat, River. I have attempted to do this without her in the room, and she refused to allow that to happen with persistent scratching at the door. And that was quite noisy. So she's just here sitting next to me, and I'm hoping she doesn't choose this as her prime moment of pushing things off the table or my altar or any of the other rat bag cat stuff that she tends to do. Get ready for another one of our Hannah, help me episodes where I answer your questions. If you have a question, send it through to info@suburbanwitchery.com for your chance to have me answer it on air. Today's question comes in from Abby. Abby asks, Hannah, help me. How do I recognize deity signs? How do I know if they're trying to connect? Thanks, from Abby. So Abby, this is a super, super popular question. This is like up there with one of the most asked questions over my course of being a public witch figure. And before I get into it, I just want to acknowledge the elephant in my brain right now, which is I get in my head about pronunciation of things sometimes. And I spend a lot of time with American witches, Canadian witches, English witches, witches from all over the world. I listen to lots of podcasts, I listen to lots of talks and things, and the word deity in my brain is currently crosswired with deity, deity, deity. I don't know which one's real. The word doesn't sound real at all to me anymore, and I'm a little bit self-conscious that I'm going to be saying it wrong for my own accent, because this has happened to me before. When I was in Canada, I changed a lot of the way I said words so that people could understand me, because apparently I was not understandable. And then I got home and forgot how to say things properly. I didn't know which was the right one. And then when you get in your head over that, it's like you've corrected yourself so many times, you can't remember which was the correct, you know? So I may switch between deity and deity. I don't know what's right. Please don't judge me. And I'm sure you can realize as a Virgo, this is eating me up inside. But back to Abby's question. It is a broad question because there are a lot of deities. Deities. Oh my God. There are a lot of gods. There are a lot of gods, a lot of goddesses, a lot of spirits, a lot of things out there that can be trying to connect with us. That's my belief. There are lots of things that may want to connect. I'm going to start with another question that is also commonly asked alongside this. And I think it's relevant to answer this first before we go any further. And that is the question about if a god or goddess is reaching out to me, am I obligated to answer? And the answer to that is no, absolutely not. You are not obligated. You do not have to work with deities if you don't want to. Personally, I refused flat out for many years. I was like, absolutely not. I've done that before with Christianity. I've worked with a god. Don't want that again. And then I started seeing some signs, which even now in retrospect, I look back and realize there were a shit ton more signs that I missed that were also definitely signs. So if you're not aware, I currently do work with deities. Deities? Hannah, stop. Stop it. Just stop it. Pick one. I currently work with deities. That's what it's coming out as, deities. And it began with one and it slowly grew and it feels good and it feels natural for me. And I'm going to share that story. I may have shared it before on another episode, but since I have ADHD and I can't remember if I have, I'm just going to share it again and you're going to nod politely and be like, great, I'm pretending this is the first time I've heard this. It's a good story anyway. I do think that sharing my own story is... We learn best by stories, right? But it's a really good example of how they can come through. So how we can recognize and how we can know when someone's trying to connect. So way back when I had a lot of people asking me how do I start working with this goddess, or how do I know if this god is reaching out to me, etc. And I would flat out turn around and say, I don't work with deities. I'm not answering that. You'll need to speak to somebody else. And you will know, you will notice that in my content. If I don't know on something, I am not the right person to teach on that, to speak on that. It's not my area of expertise. And I did that for a very long time. And obviously I was traumatized from Christianity. And the other aspect is I heard Devin Hunter, who is someone I've had on the podcast before. I heard Devin Hunter say something on his podcast, which is the Modern Witch podcast. It's very good, by the way. I can't remember what episode it was, but he said something about working with or choosing a god or goddess to work with, because you don't always have to wait for them to reach out to you. You can just go and choose one, right? He had said that it's very important that we look to the traits of the god or goddess. I'm paraphrasing here. I can't remember exactly what it said. This was years back. We have to look at what traits they have, the good and the bad, because whichever god we work with or goddess that we work with, we are going to start almost inheriting some of those traits, whether we like it or not. And when I heard that, my brain just went, oh, that makes so much sense, because the Christian God is very judgmental. He's full of judgment. He is a God of judgment. Wrath. He's proud. What do I think of most Christians and the way they portray themselves? Proud, judgmental. They very much are taking on the qualities of the God that they've chosen. But that's getting off the point. So the deity that I work with at the moment, my main deity, and I have a couple of others as well, I work with Thoth. Thoth, some people pronounce as Toth. I say Thoth. T-H-O-T-H. Thoth is an Egyptian deity from the Egyptian pantheon. A pantheon is basically a collection of gods or goddesses from myths and legends and things like that. It is a group from a place. We have things like the Greek pantheon, the Irish pantheon or Celtic pantheon, the Roman pantheon, and many of these gods, especially because Egypt, Rome, Greece, these were huge influences in the ancient world. And we had a lot of trade between these places and that places. So we have something called the Hellenistic period, which is a period of about 3 centuries of Greek history between the death of Alexander the Great in 323 BCE and the rise of Augustus in Rome in 31 BCE. So this is collectively known as the Hellenistic period. And this is when Greek cultural influence and power reached its peak in the Mediterranean and beyond. So Hellenistic literally means to imitate Greeks, and we see a lot of this in, at least in Roman gods and goddesses, and then Greek gods and goddesses, you will have the Roman version and the Greek version. We have Aphrodite in the Greek pantheon and Venus in the Roman pantheon. So for example, Greek mythology originated around, it's hard to tell, but around about 3000 BCE. Whereas Roman mythology didn't appear until about 20 BCE. And that really came around with Rome's national epic, the Aeneid, which drew on myths that linked the city's founding with Greek deities and legends. Okay, so there's this like crossover between these sort of main pantheons that we have. I swear, all of this has a point. You will learn so much in this, I promise you. In terms of the Egyptian pantheon, the first written evidence we have of gods and goddesses comes from the early dynastic period, which is around about 3100 BC. So it's similar timing to when the Greek gods and everything emerged as well, give or take 100 or so years. But we do get a lot of crossovers. And I mean, there's a reason for that. Historically, when we didn't have an answer to a question, we would have a god for that specific thing, or we would want a god to explain that. So things like a god of the moon who brings the moon up into the sky and controls the moon and the changes of the moon. So in the Egyptian pantheon, we have Khonsu, who is the Egyptian god of the moon. His name means traveler, and it relates to the perceived nightly travel of the moon across the sky. Then we have the Greek god of the moon. So she was the personification of the moon, and that is Selene. And then the Roman is Diana. Of course, there are other pantheons and gods and goddesses, such as Divana, who was the Slavic goddess of the wild nature, forest hunting, and the moon. But then Divana was also equated with the Greek goddess Artemis and again the Roman goddess Diana. So there's these links between all of these cultures that were emerging around the same time, and these stories were coming around the same time. And as you know, empire took over another empire, they would merge stuff together. That's how history happens. So this is where it gets a little bit tricky when you're like, okay, maybe I'm feeling really drawn to the moon. I'm going to also mention Thoth is also known as a god of the moon, but has a lot of further history as well. So maybe you're feeling this call to the moon, this draw to the moon, to worship the moon, to bring the moon or the lunar calendar into your daily practice, to live by a lunar cycle perhaps. Maybe you're pulling the moon card really frequently, especially around questions of working with a deity. But then how the hell do you know which one? There's so many moon goddesses and gods around the world. So this is where you need a little bit more specificity to know if that god is really calling to you or if you just like the moon. So in this same vein, we're going to have things like a sun god in most of them. There is going to be goddess and god of the night, which is different to a god of the moon. So one thing I think is really important to feel into is which of these pantheons, these big pantheons, draws you. I think our interest, that feeling of being pulled towards something, that is something for us to listen to. A lot of the times, I believe that's our intuition. Now, even though I pushed back on working with a god for a very long time, I look back and most kids love the concept of ancient Egypt as they're growing up. Like, that's a very cool concept. However, I don't think most kids teach themselves hieroglyphics at the age of 11, which I did. And it was really tricky, but I was, writing stuff in hieroglyphics from something I'd found at the library. I was trying to interpret things. And this was back in when I was also trying to interpret stuff in the Bible as well, but that's probably not a normal kid thing to do. Maybe that was a sign. Maybe that was a sign very early on. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I like to think of it as perhaps something that brought me to where I am today. The story of Thoth coming into my life. As I said, there were numerous signs and things like that, but I'm going to talk about the main ones. The first was probably even just going back to the tarot, this call to the tarot. It came to me like a voice in my head, which I know is clairaudience, but even in my intuition infancy, I recognized that this was not a thought of my own. I knew that that's not a thought I normally have. I don't think about the tarot. The tarot was evil. That was, old Hannah thinking. But it was incessant. Buy a tarot deck. Buy a tarot deck. And I was like, I freaking can't. Demons are going to pop out. I can't do that. But eventually I succumbed and I bought one and it clicked. When I tell you I could read those cards very easily without any, I threw that little white book out basically immediately. Whilst I've studied, because I love studying, I love learning, I love all of that, and I've practiced and practiced and practiced, I do think it came very naturally to me. Now, I teach people the tarot, and I've watched some people pick it up very quickly, some people do not, and that's okay. And I don't think you need to pick it up quickly to be a good tarot reader. That can come with time. But for me, it felt eerily easy. So that was possibly a sign to begin with. There is a lot of conjecture about Thoth being the inventor of the tarot or where tarot originates from. So Thoth is, as I said, a god of the moon, a god of learning, a god of writing. He was the inventor of writing, so it goes, the creator of languages, a scribe, an interpreter, advisor to the gods, representative of the sun god Ra. He was a mediator. He gave really good, wise guidance. He's a god of knowledge, sacred learning, and recording all of that wisdom as well. So Aleister Crowley created a tarot deck called the Thoth Tarot. It's a slightly different system to the Rider-Waite-Smith. There's been a few changes. And when I first came to tarot, that was absolutely not, almost repulsive to me. And even now, it's a very, very intense energy. And I think that's more Aleister Crowley's energy rather than anything else. But along my journey with tarot, of course, there came a time when I was like, I need that deck. And I haven't really felt that way about many decks before. The Mythos Tarot, yes, I felt that with that. And I'm currently on a Greek god deep dive, so I can feel a shift happening there. But the Thoth Tarot was something I was repulsed by until suddenly I wasn't. I have spoken about this before, I think with Nicholas Pearson on the crystals episode, where there are certain crystals like Desert Rose that I was like, ugh, I hate that crystal. Why would anyone want to use that crystal? Until one day I was suddenly like, oh my God, it is stunning. I have to have that crystal. I think things call to us when we're ready, when we are resonating on the same frequency as the thing, right? So the Thoth deck started to call to me, and I didn't heed it at first because I was like, oh my gosh, there's no store around here. I'd have to buy it online and then shipping. I'll combine it with something. I'll just wait. Anyway, when I finally said, I think to my Suburban Witches Society group, I said, you know what? Fine. I'm getting the Thoth deck. I'm going to go down that pathway. Wish me luck. And one of them said, hey, I have the Book of Thoth. Would you like me to send it to you? And she sent it to me. And this is the book by Aleister Crowley, where he talks about basically the deck and the behind the scenes stuff of why he's changed things around and everything. It's a very, very interesting book. And I've learned so much by reading that alongside this deck. So I was like, okay, so for me, that could have also been a sign that these things sort of come to you when they're meant to. It was easy that book just happened to come along at the same time. What are the chances type of thing, right? But the big thing, these are still not really signs. They're just things in retrospect. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Wait, before I tell you the big, big sign, I will also mention around this time was when I started actually writing books. And I started with picture books because I had given birth, and I find we become extremely creative after going through a birth portal like that. It just, I don't know, we become these creation, or I did at least, my experiences, I became incredibly prolifically creative. I have written so many kids' books, poems, songs, ideas. Like, I have this little folder called my brain dump folder on my Notion document. You would not believe the amount of things are in there that are just waiting for the right time for me to polish and send off to someone. So all these words started flowing. And then one day, I went into an antique store. The kids were in the back, I think. Toby was asleep. And all I wanted to do, we were driving through Traralgon. I said, Ben, please, I just want like 10 minutes to just look in a store. Please, can I look in a store? And he's like, fine. There's an antique store around the corner. Do you want to look in it? And I was like, yes, please, please. I think we'd been in lockdowns and all of that. I'd just been begging to be out of the house, but also kid-free for a second. And the kids were asleep. So I was like, please just let me go in. So I go into this antique store and the energy is pretty dense in there. And I was like, oh, there's some stuff in here. And me being me, I was like, oh, how fun would this be? I'll take a photo of some things that look really creepy and do a little poll on Instagram on my stories to see if people can feel into the image and whether it's haunted or not. And by haunted, I mean if there's something like an intense energy attachment to it. Doesn't necessarily mean like a ghost is sitting there waiting to go home with someone. So I put up like, you know, this rocking horse, and I was like, I don't feel anything off the rocking horse, but I know that people are going to look at that picture and think, oh, that looks creepy. It must be haunted. So it was almost like a little bit of a test for people as well. Like, are you making an assumption or are you actually feeling into it? And then there were a couple of things where I was like, wow, yeah, there's definitely something here. And I would post that up and just did a little poll. It was a little fun thing. I was actually having a lot of fun. And obviously to do this, I would touch the item and feel into it. And there was one particular item. It was this big dresser, like a big dresser. I think that's what it's called. And I put my hand on it. It was a dark, like really dark wood. I remember it very vividly. It was quite beautiful. And I put my hand on it and immediately felt like vomiting. And for me, that is not a good sign. It's unusual. It's a similar feeling to when I tried to tune into this taxidermied longhorn bull at a natural history museum. Dizzy, ill, sick, like just ick vibes. This was like, oh no, I hate this. This is not good. And I was like, and I should have probably shielded a bit more before doing this. I got carried away. I got excited. And fuck. Anyways, Ben's calling me on the phone by this point. And I was like, oh, damn it. They're probably woken up. I got to get back in the car. So I get back in the car. He's like, you were right. And I was like, yeah, I've just got a headache. And he's like, you didn't shield, did you? I was like, no, I was having fun. And I think when you're a sleep deprived mother as well, you forget those things. Always shield if you're going into an antique store. Just take my advice. Anyway, headache very quickly turns into a migraine. That's not unusual for me. I get home. At this point, I wasn't able to take medication with the fact that I was breastfeeding, which was hard. So I just had to deal with it. And I remember Ben ended up taking the kids out of the house so that I could have some quiet time. And I lay down on the couch and I did something that I call psychic surgery. I don't know if that's the actual right term, but it's just what I call it. And so I'm lying there and I'm like, something's not feeling quite right. I don't feel quite right. And it was definitely after I touched that thing. So I lay down and imagined myself stepping out of my body, turning around and looking down at my body. Now, if you've ever tried to do this, this is not an easy visualization. This is a very tricky visualization to do clearly and to hold onto. It takes practice. There's a few things over the years that have made it far easier to do, little tips along the way, but it's not an easy practice. But I did that and I'm looking down at myself, and what I did was imagined almost a net starting at the base of my feet, going through my body, like I'm dragging it up, and anything that's not supposed to be in me, around me, there is going to get caught up in that net and pull out the crown of my head, and then I will offer it up. I visualize almost like these sharks eating it up. That's just my visualization of getting rid of it, right? That's what I usually do. Now, as I'm doing this, I'm sort of like dragging it up. It all feels fine. I get to the back of my neck, and that's when I notice that there's this like slimy thing there. It reminded me of Spirited Away or in Howl's Moving Castle, like the Witch of the Waste, inky, black, wormy, squirmy things. That's what it kind of reminded me of in the back of my neck. That's what I could visualize. That's what I could see. That's what was coming through in this net thing, but it just wasn't catching it. So I finished that visualization and then had to just almost like visualize removing it from the back of my neck, like actually physically taking it away. Oh, I'm trying to remember. I feel like I've skipped a part of this story because this was a few years ago. I reckon I had a nap first, had a horrible nightmare, and then this happened. And then I lay down to do this. I think there was that in between. There was like another sign to be like, something's up. Anyway, so I removed this thing, visualizing removing this thing. And instead of giving it up to be sort of like eaten by these shark god things that I envision, I realized it needed to go elsewhere. And so I visualized taking it out in the backyard of the property we're in, digging a hole, burying it in the hole with a little note to the earth that please recycle this energy form in the best way possible. Then I imagined covering up that hole, placing a piece of cardboard over the top with a brick on top to hold it down. And I'd sort of just envisioned it happening like in this one specific section near this tree in my backyard. And again, this is in the visualization place in my brain. This is just, some might say, me imagining it. As soon as I did that, I felt instantly better. I sat up, I opened my eyes, and because I was in the living room, I was looking directly outside at my yard, and exactly where I had imagined burying this thing, I'm still getting shivers as I'm recalling this memory, there was an ibis, a sacred ibis, standing in the exact spot. Now, we had a pretty huge yard where we were living at the time. So this was like a, wow, what are the chances something standing exactly where I imagined it? And B, what the hell is a sacred ibis doing in my backyard? Because it was not something I'd ever seen in my backyard before. To be very honest, where we were living at the time, I don't think I ever saw birds in our backyard. It wasn't a very bird intense place. Whereas where I live now, there's birds all the time. Where I was living there, not really any birds, which is hard because I practice ornithomancy, which is bird divination. So at that time, especially, I was using bird divination. So this was, again, another sign. Now, the god Thoth is represented as an ibis, the sacred ibis. So for me, seeing that was a huge sign. I took that to mean like, oh, wow, he's here, he's helping, perhaps it's time. And that was a big moment for me because I had been very, 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 very resistant to working with any form of deity whatsoever. It did not take long for me to source a statue of Thoth to place on my altar. As soon as I did that, things started to shift. I noticed my tarot reading enhanced again. It became clearer. I noticed my writing skills started to get even better. My divination got clearer as well, and I had even more people seeking me out for guidance and advice. This was about the time I actually ended up changing the name of my tarot readings and all of that, and I started calling them a guidance call because I realized that's what people were coming to me for. They wanted guidance. They needed help, and that's what I was providing them. So I called it a guidance call. Now, what a lot of people like to do when they do choose a deity or feel a deity calling out to them, obviously, I placed a statue of Thoth on my altar as a, hey, okay, let's do this. And I did do some divination beforehand just to double check with my tarot cards, like, is this the right way I should be going about it? And all cards pointed to yes. And I was like, cool, let's just see where this goes. Keeping in mind, you can stop this relationship at any time. The other thing, as I mentioned earlier, I definitely looked into Thoth's gifts, stories, myths, legends, and what the pros and cons might be of working with Thoth. And I made sure before embarking on that relationship and that journey that it was something I was willing to take on, the good and the bad. Now, as the son of two deities representing both order and chaos respectively, Thoth is also the god of equilibrium. And I was like, you know what? That's actually not a bad thing to bring some balance into my life. And I do think he does bring that need for balance in all of those things. And that's been a consistent theme since working with Thoth. I didn't say earlier, his Egyptian name is Jehuti, which means he who is like the ibis. So very soon after working with Thoth, I began writing my memoir. So I started writing my memoir and it flowed. It just flowed out of me. I wrote about 30,000 words. And then I think that's when we had to move house or we had to do something. Something interrupted that. But very soon after, and this is this whole time I'm giving offerings, I'm working with him, I'm usually connecting via my black scrying mirror on the dark moon. That is the divination style I reserve solely for communicating with Thoth. So shortly after starting that memoir and then having to put it down for a bit was when I got the idea for my novel, my fictional novel. And when I tell you, I feel like that book was channeled, and I don't mean that in like the new agey sense of the word. I just mean that was the point where I said my writing is an offering to Thoth, and it's almost like working together, he's helped bring forth those words for me. And even when my editor got a copy of the novel, and it had been through, you know, two rounds of revisions and a set of beta readers, my editor was like, I can tell there's something extra here because this is far further along than most authors on their first novel after two revisions. This is elevated writing. And I was like, I've never learnt writing craft. I've never done that before. It's my first actual novel. And it just flowed so easy. So I think that shows as well some of the things working with a deity can do in our lives. It can make these huge things. I'd always wanted to be a writer growing up and had given up countless times, but having Thoth as my deity has helped me see that through. Like, I am going through that process. I will be a published author. Like, that is 100% where I'm going. And it's quite funny to me when I look at this book that is set in 2000 BC in Kemet, which is ancient Egypt. And I never put that together at the time of writing it, that it's set in a time when people literally worshipped Thoth. Entire cities would be dedicated to him as a god. So things you need to look out for to know if a deity is reaching out to you. Signs in your everyday life. The interests you're feeling drawn to. Themes that are coming up in your life or in your divination. Signs that are coming up that relate continually to a specific god. For example, a sacred ibis, was very clear to me that that was Thoth. Pair that with the tarot and the Thoth tarot deck and writing and all of these other things, and it just felt like it made sense. Now, in hindsight, one of the most critical books in my entire spiritual development to where I am now is the Kybalion. It taught me so much, and it really formulated my view of the world and my spiritual view of the world as well. And I read that before I'd ever got a tarot deck, like years and years and years ago. I've started rereading it again recently, just as I need to go over it. And I didn't even realize the whole bloody thing is about Thoth. In the Kybalion, it says this: among these great masters of ancient Egypt, there once dwelt one of whom masters hailed as the Master of Masters. This man, if man indeed he was, dwelt in Egypt in the earliest days. He was known as Hermes Trismegistus. He was the father of the occult wisdom, the founder of astrology, the discoverer of alchemy. The details of his life story are lost to history, owing to the lapse of the years, though several of the ancient countries disputed with each other in their claims to the honour of having furnished his birthplace. And this thousands of years ago. The date of his sojourn in Egypt in that last incarnation on this planet is not now known, but it has been fixed at the early days of the oldest dynasties of Egypt, long before the days of Moses. The best authorities regard him as a contemporary of Abraham, and some of the Jewish traditions go so far as to claim that Abraham acquired a portion of his mystic knowledge from Hermes himself. As the years rolled by, after his passing from this plane of life, tradition recording that he lived 300 years in the flesh, the Egyptians deified Hermes and made him one of their gods under the name of Thoth. Years after, the people of ancient Greece also made him one of their many gods, calling him Hermes, the god of wisdom. The Egyptians revered his memory for many centuries, yes, tens of centuries, calling him the scribe of the gods and bestowing upon him distinctively the ancient title Trismegistus, which means the thrice great, the great great, the greatest great, etc. In all the ancient lands, the name of Hermes Trismegistus was revered, the name being synonymous with the fount of wisdom. And even to this day, we use the term hermetic in the sense of secret, sealed so that nothing can escape. It goes on to say in the book that Hermeticists were the original alchemists, astrologists, psychologists, and Hermes being the founder of these schools of thought. From astrology has grown modern astronomy, and from alchemy has grown modern chemistry. From the mystic psychology has grown the modern psychology of the schools. It's a very fascinating read if you're interested, but you can see how reading this now and realizing, oh my gosh, the signs have been there since the beginning of my spiritual awakening, many, many years before realizing and accepting that Thoth was a deity for me. You may also have very similar experiences to this, where you finally land upon this deity that's been calling to you, only to realize they've been calling your name for many years prior. Now, Hermes is a Greek god, and he is one that is known to be incredibly clever. He's a herald, he's a messenger, just like Thoth is a messenger between the living and the dead, is a messenger between the gods. And then when we look at the Roman gods, we have Mercury as the equivalent. So Mercury, Thoth, Hermes, they are all essentially the same style of deity. Again, Hermes was a god of language as well, of travel. Mercury is a god of travel. We know Mercury based on the planets as well. So it was just quite funny that even now I'm finding things that were signs ages ago, but I didn't have the knowledge yet to interpret them. And it's quite fun, actually. So, for example, to kind of wrap it up a little bit, some people might feel they have a hereditary connection to a region for a particular god or goddess. I mean, a lot of my background is Irish, but I haven't really felt a call from Irish gods. I just haven't felt that. Maybe it will come. I'm not sure. I don't know what the rest of my life is going to look like, but at the moment it hasn't. There's not any Dutch deities that I know of, but that's also my ancestry. But you can go down that path. Explore your ancestry. Explore where your people come from. Explore the stories that have been passed down to you. That could be where you start. Read mythology. I think mythology is huge in understanding the gods. Like, you need to know their stories. You need to know what was said about them, what they did. And understanding that is going to be a key thing. But as you're reading it, you're going to notice you resonate with some more than others. Maybe you read about Aphrodite and a light bulb goes off and you just know that she's calling to you. Goddess and god oracle decks, they can be really useful. If one's consistently popping up and you're just going to be like, okay, I guess you want to chat. And then when you know the myths around them as well, you will notice that gods and goddesses of any pantheon, they often have animals that are related to them. So Thoth has the sacred ibis, also the baboon, but most frequently the sacred ibis. For example, the goddess Athena is associated with birds, but particularly the owl. So if you are seeing lots of owl symbols everywhere, or you notice that people keep gifting you owl necklaces, or like something like that, could be a sign from Athena. A lot of witches feel called to work with Hecate, Freya, Aphrodite, Persephone, and in the Egyptian mythology, Bastet or Bast, who is a cat goddess. Now, I have since expanded my deities that I work with because during one of my scrying sessions, I felt Isis come in. And that was intriguing to me. And I drew a little picture of what I saw. And then when double checked, which goddess is this? And it was Isis. And I'm not even kidding. 2 weeks later, after not telling anyone, I had a friend come over and she's like, hey, I brought you this goddess statue because I bought it for me. And it's not for me. I think it's for you. And she gives me an Isis statue. And I was like, well, that's weird. Thank you very much. So that was a confirmation. And you will have that. You will notice a sign. And then it's almost like you see the sign and then you get the validation. And if you don't get the validation, that's okay. You can still choose to work with that god or goddess if you want to. They don't have to be calling you for you to want to work with them. And if they're calling you and you don't want to work with them, you don't have to. Ah, I didn't even talk about the Norse pantheon. There is a Norse pantheon as well. Totally, like, just my brain blanked on that one. So there's Nordic gods and goddesses and things like that. Think of Odin, Thor, Freya, etc. When I said Freya before, my brain obviously went into a little overdrive. So a lot of people do have, like, a specific tarot or oracle deck that they will use to communicate with their deity. You know, you dedicate one particular one. So I have one of my clients that I'm mentoring is working with the Morrigan, and they are using the Celtic tarot, I believe, to communicate with the Morrigan. As I said, I use Black Mirror scrying to communicate with Thoth. You can simply go into meditation state. If you're working with Athena, maybe you're going to use something like owl divination or ornithomancy or bird divination to work with Athena. So you need to sort of feel into what you feel comfortable with and what might resonate with that deity. If it's not a dark moon, which is my scrying night, then I will use the Thoth Tarot to communicate with Thoth if I feel I need to. So as I said, Hecate is a very common one for a lot of witches to work with. She's a powerful Greek goddess of magic, witchcraft, the moon, all of that. She's also known for the crossroads and entryways, necromancy, sorcery, all of that. And she has a special affinity with dogs. So perhaps you might be hearing dogs or seeing dogs in your teacup as you're reading your tea leaves. Maybe you feel called to go and rescue a dog. All of these things could be a sign of working with Hecate. I mentioned Aphrodite before. She's the goddess of love. I believe she calls out to people who are searching for love. They're wanting love. They're on that search for their true love. But she's also an ocean goddess. So she could get your attention in a different way than what you're expecting. So it's helpful to know, as I said, the myths before you start working with them officially. Now, once you start working with a god or goddess, can you change your mind? 100%, absolutely. Yes, you can. You do not have to continue working with them if you don't want. And on the subject of some of these gods and goddesses, I have had Irasanya Moon on the podcast before. Irasanya wrote a book on Iris, who is a messenger god in the Greek pantheon. So she's written on Aphrodite, she's written on the Norns, on Gaia, on Circe, on Artemis. She's done a lot of books on goddesses, so I would highly recommend Irasanya Moon as a resource. I've read Iris, I haven't read the other ones, but knowing Irasanya, I know that those are going to be phenomenal books as well. Not all gods or goddesses have books written about them. Some can be tricky to find stuff, and sometimes you have to figure it out on your own, and that's okay. And your experience doesn't have to mirror everyone else's. Now, before we end, I just want to let you know that the stuff you see on TikTok or online from people saying, oh my God, Hades is my god, and he's really jealous of me or this person because I'm doing this, or because I'm working with this god as well, and he was saying this. No. That's not how it works. It's not like that. If you are communicating with a god or a goddess, it's going to be dependent on your ability to interpret signs, symbols, omens, and to work with your psychic senses as well. It is not a conversation that's happening in your head. Maybe get help if that's what you're hearing, because that's not how it should be happening. It's not a back and forth. It is not like having a friend. So please take those sorts of reels and videos and things with a grain of salt. And then once you have chosen to actually work with them, give them a space, give them somewhere to communicate with you back, so through a form of divination, and give them a space to have offerings or a place of power in your home if you feel comfortable with that and if you're able to. Sometimes it might not be safe to do that. There is, there's like really subtle jewelry you can buy. For example, I have one that has the Ankh symbol, and that for me means Thoth, so I can wear that. It's very subtle. I can hide it in my top. There are tons of ways you can honor a god or a goddess without having to be super open about it if that's not safe for you or comfortable for you. And it's definitely good to look into what sort of things they like as offerings. For example, I do offer my writing as an offering to Thoth. That's something that feels right. It feels aligned for me. Whereas Isis gets dead beetles and bugs. Most gods and goddesses like smoke. Many of the Greek gods would probably like meat burned in their honor. It is helpful to read those source texts to get a good idea about doing it correctly, but also don't freak out and not do anything because you're too worried you'll get it wrong. You'll be okay. If you have any further questions or specific questions around this, let me know. I'm happy to do other episodes like this in the future, or follow-up ones on my YouTube as well. I know this is it's a dense topic. There's a lot there. I could talk for hours. On the topic of YouTube, I've just hit 13,000 subscribers over there, which feels incredibly witchy because 13 just feels like the witchiest number ever. So that's really exciting. If you haven't checked it out, I have so much stuff over there. You get video versions of the podcast, which is great, especially if you want subtitles or you want to see the face of me and my guests as we're talking. I've got a bunch of playlists. There's one on tarot specifically. So if you need help with reading the tarot, learning the tarot, there's so many videos there for you to watch through. There's another one on exvangelical stuff. So my story, exvangelical content, like the five things I wish I knew before deconstructing from Christianity. And recently I did a exvangelical reacts video to Prosper, which is a evangelical Aussie drama on Stan. And that was really fun to do, actually. So definitely check it out if you're looking for more content to keep you entertained. And there's another playlist called Troubleshooting for Witches, and that one's really fun. So I troubleshoot people's like, oh my gosh, this is going wrong. What did I do wrong? And I help people figure it out. So I hope you have loved this episode today. I hope it has given you, I don't know if you can hear the rains just started to pour down. I'm sorry if it's drowning out my words. I hope this episode has given you some aha moments or some inspiration to go and read some Greek mythology or Egyptian mythology. If you're interested in the Greek stuff, I highly, highly, highly recommend listening to Epic the Musical. It's on Spotify. It's my absolute hyper focus at the moment. You could also read Homer's The Iliad and The Odyssey. That's going to give you so much insight into the gods. That rain is getting a lot heavier. If you are looking for the Egyptian pantheon, there is a website called sacred-texts.com. If you go /EGY/index.htm, I will put that. I've said that and now I'm like, that's ridiculous. I don't know. No one's going to remember that. I will link it below. That has a lot of sacred text archives for Egyptian mythology. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of the Roman is taken from the Greek. So I usually recommend people start with the Greek rather than the Roman. In terms of Celtic pantheon, there is a book by Mark Williams called Ireland's Immortals, A History of the Gods of Irish Myths. And then James MacKillop has written A Dictionary of Celtic Mythology, which is also very good as a resource. Now, if you're into the Norse pantheon, the Viking Society for Northern Research has free PDFs, one of which is the Prose Edda, which has been translated by Anthony Foulkes in 1987, so that's a good place to start. And a more recent book to read would be The Norse Myths, A Guide to the Gods and Heroes by Caroline Larrington. I'm going to be listing all of the books and resources that I've just done in the Suburban Witches Society Facebook group. So if you want to get access to additional like podcast resources, as well as behind the scenes episodes and things like that, you can sign up at suburbanwitchery.com/society. And I'd love to see you there. Thanks again for listening today. If you know someone who would get a lot out of this episode, I ask that you please send it across to them, share the word, the Witch Talks Pyramid Scheme. That's where it's at. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. We've just recently hit 52 and a bit thousand downloads, which feels like a huge milestone. And I'm excited to hit 55. I think that would be a great bang to go out on at the end of season two. And by 55, I mean 55,000. I hope you have a lovely day wherever you are in the world today. And I will chat with you next time.